Chapter 4. The Increase of Global Communication. The second way that modern technology reveals that we're really living in the last days is by the increase of communication. And believe it or not, that's exactly what's going to happen in the 7-year tribulation when the Antichrist and false prophet micromanage the whole planet and connect them in order to rule them. They need to communicate to the whole planet. In fact, it's the same thing that was done in another time of rebellion called the Tower of Babel. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Genesis 11:1-9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone, and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city, and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So, the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Now, according to our text, the Bible clearly tells us the unfortunate news that right after the flood, the last time God judged this planet, that mankind once again was already rebelling against God. It's like a whole giant global flood didn't get your attention. It's crazy but true. And good thing we don't have hard hearts like that today, yeah right. But notice what mankind had in common that apparently helped produce this rebellious global society at that time. They didn't just work together, they what? They had a common speech, i.e. one language. And it was this universal form of communication that not only enabled them to work together effectively in their rebellion against God, but it was so powerful that God had to shut it down and confuse the whole thing. And that's why we have the languages we have today. In fact, there are an estimated 6,500 spoken languages throughout the world. Talk about confusion. And it's this multitude of languages that are keeping us separated, and from totally rebelling against God on a worldwide basis, until now. I'm telling you, all in our lifetime, just in time for the 7-year tribulation, we are seeing a repeat of the Tower of Babel incident that will unite our world with the Antichrist in his total rebellion against God.
Revelation 13:3-4. And verses 7-8. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world.
The enemy has been slowly but surely working ever since the turn of the last century, to recreate this last day's rebellion against God and unite our planet not only with travel, that's step one, but even with the uniting of our communication back to a common universal language. It's all happening right now. The first way the enemy is uniting our world for the 7-year tribulation rebellion is by connecting all people with communication technology. You see, for the longest time, mankind was not only separated by the continents throughout the world, but as we saw in the previous chapters, being reconnected by modern travel technology, we can travel wherever we want now. But we also had a communication gap. We had no clue whatsoever of other people and what they were doing or saying around the world, until now. Just like the travel technology, so it is with communication technology, it's not by chance. At the turn of the last century, the enemy began to put even communication technology into high gear, and increase it to slowly but surely unite the planet. Don't believe me? Let me show you. First, we had the birth of newspapers, which was a big deal because prior to this, mankind wrote on forms of communication like cuneiform tablets, pressing shapes into clay, or parchment, or animal skins, or even discarded pieces of pottery. But that's about it. And it stayed that way for the longest time. But then along came another invention called the Gutenberg press, which occurred in the mid-1400s, invented by a guy named Johannes Gutenberg, that allowed for the mass production of printed material. That was cool. But even that stayed pretty much the same until the early 1700s, when we had the birth of the first successful daily newspaper, in Britain, in 1702, and the first daily American newspaper in 1784. In fact, one of the early American newspapers was called the Public Occurrences, both foreign and domestic. Right out of the gates, as you can see, newspapers communicated to people, not just local events, but global events as well. A huge breakthrough if your goal is to connect the planet. And of course, we know who that is. Today we have about 18,000 newspapers in 102 countries connecting all of us, all available right now at our fingertips anytime, thanks to another invention called the internet, which we'll get to in another chapter. From newspapers, it went to radio, attributed to Marconi, but others would say, no, it was Nikola Tesla. This was a huge deal because now you could not only read what was going on around the world, but now you could hear what was going on around the world as well. Major improvement to unite the planet. In fact, the first transatlantic radio transmission occurred in 1901 with Marconi, and from then on radio grew as a form of communication on a massive scale to a point where we now have 44,000 radio stations throughout the world broadcasting, with over 15,000 of them just in the US. Then that led to the development, all in our lifetime, of what's called satellite radio and internet radio. So now anyone can basically have their own radio broadcast signal for people to tune into, anywhere around the world, and communicate back and forth. Another major huge feat if you're going to connect the world. But then it went even further to television. And again, this was another huge breakthrough because now you can not only read and hear what was going on around the world, now you can see it. The first successful television signal occurred in 1927 by a guy named Philo Farnsworth, who is credited with the invention. And this, of course, as a form of communication, has gone ballistic. At first the reach of television didn't go too far. Remember the days of rabbit ears? Yes, kids, there was life before cable. Then eventually came cable and satellite signals, and now TV can be broadcast anywhere in the world on a global basis to the tune of nearly 28,000 TV stations around the world. And now, even in recent years, again, all in our lifetime, television is morphing into app-based streaming technology via the internet, where you can customize and get just about any kind of TV channel you could ever think of, or want, on just about any kind of topic, anywhere in the world. You can see it all. Again, another fantastic leap forward if you want to connect the world. Again, I wonder who that might be. But again, all about the same time, we had the birth of another important invention called the telephone. So, think about it. Now you can not only read and hear and see what was going on around the world, now you can speak to people around the world. Another huge communication breakthrough. The first successful telephone transmission occurred in 1876 by Alexander Graham Bell, who said the famous words to his assistant, Mr. Watson, come here, I want you. The very next year he started the Bell Telephone Company, and within 10 years it went ballistic, with more than 100,000 people in the United States getting phones and communicating all over the place. And today, of course, phones have really gone crazy. In fact, let me show you how fast phone technology has advanced. How many of you remember the days of the rotary dial phones? Well, believe it or not, kids today have no clue what that is.
There is a box sitting on a table between two teenagers. The dad says, okay, lift up the box. The boys take the box off the table and the dad gives them a tablet and says, you have 4 minutes to dial that phone number. They stand there looking at the thing that is on the table. It is a yellow rotary dial phone that is connected not only to the wall, but the handset is connected to the phone. One boy looks at the number while the other one just stares at the phone. One kid asks, is that it? Yes, the dad replies. With that phone. They both bend down to look a little closer at this thing they had never seen before. One says, push the number, push the button. He puts his finger in the hole to push the number, but nothing moves. It doesn't work. They found out that the rotary does go around, so they put in one number and spin it a couple numbers and it goes back to the beginning. Well, that didn't work. The second kid realizes that the handset needs to be lifted or can be lifted, but he sets it back in the cradle. So, then they go back to trying to figure out how to dial the numbers, but their time runs out.
And they go on for like 4 minutes. Wow. But the reason why these kids are befuddled is because telephone technology has gone nuts in our lifetime. First it was the hanging wall phone, then the rotary phone as you just saw, to the cordless phone, to now, cell phones. Thanks to satellite technology, you now can communicate with anybody anywhere on the whole planet mobile, as you walk around, drive around, go anywhere you want at any time on the whole planet. In fact, Cell phones are now even connecting both the technologies of speaking and seeing people at the same time through video chat, video phone, FaceTime and all that other stuff. And now they're even coming out with 3D hologram phones. And because of this explosion of cell phone technology, they are now expecting this year the amount of cell phone users around the world to surpass the 5 billion mark. We're getting close to the whole planet having the ability to what? To communicate, see, hear. Where have I heard that before? And that's just cell phones. That's not counting regular phones or even internet phones that further increase our ability to communicate worldwide, and it's all happening right now as we sit here. So, maybe it's me, but it looks like somebody's uniting mankind once again into a universal common form of communication on a multitude of levels. How about you? And this isn't even counting computers, the internet, emails, which, again, we'll get to in another chapter. But the point is this. Never before, in the history of mankind, can we communicate like we do now since the Tower of Babel, but now it's been reversed, just in time for the 7-year tribulation, in our lifetime. But that's still not all. That's just step one. The second way the enemy is recreating a last days global rebellious society is by connecting all languages with communication technology. You see, you might be thinking, okay, that's cool and all, now we can read, hear, see, and speak with people anywhere on the planet for the first time in man's history, since the Tower of Babel. I'll give you that, but speaking of the Tower of Babel, wait a minute, we still don't speak the same language, so we're not at a full uniting. And you're right. That's a very good point. Because as we all know, even in our own English language we can have some serious language barriers. On the Bill Cosby talk show, You Bet Your Life, some years back he had a guest come on from Pennsylvania.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Shelton in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Born?
No, I am originally from the North South Carolina.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, with a big smile on her face.
I don't know many people from Sheltonham. In a fake southern drawl. That talk like that.
Well, I was raised for 20 years down south. She speaks with a very strong southern accent.
What was the name of the place?
North.
North?
No, North. She spells it out for him. North, it's in South Carolina. In South Carolina, there is a little town called Due West.
Wait, slow down. In North Carolina?
No, in South Carolina there's a little town called Due West, and North is 90 miles southeast of Due West. North is south of the capital, Columbia. You understand?
I was doing fine until you came out here. Then you started talking and I got lost, and I'm not in a car and I don't care to go anywhere. Now you have me someplace where I have no idea where I am. I'm in a town north south of Due West. Well, where am I?
No, it's North, South Carolina.
I'm North South Carolina.
Yes, it's North, South Carolina. You put a comma between North and South Carolina.
I'm in the state of South Carolina, but in city called North.
It's not a city, it's a town.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where is the railroad?
Oh, the railroad is right in the middle of the town.
That's right. Now stop there. Where are the black people?
I don't know, they are all around, I guess.
No, they are not all around. As he stands up and looks at her, they are not all around. He sits back down. They are either on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks. Are they due north or southwest?
You're in North.
I'm in North.
Yes, South Carolina.
Here we go again.
Anyway.
No anyway. I'm sitting in my car and I'm lost. I wanted to find my people and you're trying to give me directions. Okay. Now let's put it this way. Where is the river?
Which river?
Now how many of you can identify with Bill Cosby's pain they're trying to communicate to that lady? I've got relatives like that too. Wow. And again, that's just the English language. As you saw, just one language can have tons of different dialects that automatically create barriers to communication. We already saw there's around 6,500 different languages around the world with all their own dialects. And then add to that the reality of just the sheer amount of languages you would have to learn. Some people manually learn languages, and that takes quite a while, and you hear of stories of how someone throughout their whole lifetime actually learned 6, 7, 8, 9, or maybe 10 different languages, but that's about it. So how in the world are you going to unite all 6,500 languages with all their different dialects? It seems impossible, until now. Thanks to modern technology, the language barriers are coming down, all of them. First, we had an automatic language translator invented by IBM in 1959 that automatically converted Russian documents into English for the US military. Then IBM and other companies continued to further develop the technology through the 60s and 70s, and then shortly after, the internet was invented in 1983, which allowed these translation technologies to get into the hands of the average Joe. This is when you began to see the development of what's called internet-based translation services like Babel Fish, which is now taken over as the Bing translator. It automatically translated basically any language you type into the text box into another language of your choosing and vice versa at the click of a mouse. In fact, I remember using Babel Fish way back in the early 2000s when through the teaching ministry I would get emails from people around the world in different languages. I had no clue what they were saying. So I would copy their email into Babel Fish, which then translated it into English for me, and then I would type them back my English response, put that into Babel Fish, and it would convert it to their language, and then I would send that translation off to them, and it actually worked quite well. And guess what? I didn't take one class and I didn't have to learn a language. It was all automatic and free. In fact, the company admitted that the name Babel Fish refers to the biblical account of the confusion of languages that arose in the city of Babel. Not making it up. Direct. But you might be thinking, well, hey, that's all well and good, but that's for the computer savvy people. How many people in the world today don't even know how to use a computer, let alone own one, so that'll never work. And you're right. That was a first huge step though. Now they're taking that same universal translation technology and putting it into another communication device that we all basically have called the cell phone. And believe it or not, if you have a cell phone, right now you can translate just about any language you like, around the world, automatically, for free, right before your very eyes. Here's just one example. WordLens from www.questvisual.com shows how it works. The person with the different language can hold up a paper with the language on it, then the person with the cell phone can hold their phone like they're going to take a picture, but instead the English language shows up on the cell phone screen, the translation of what the other person was holding up. And it also worked in reverse. Now she is holding up a paper that is in English, but the person holding the cell phone is reading in the different language. It translates the text instantly. You only need the phone and WordLens, without connection to internet or the cost of the network. 4. This is just one of many app-based automated translators for phones. The language barriers are coming down right before our very eyes. But again, you might be thinking, okay, that's cool and all, I can translate written text into a different language automatically, but that's still not speaking translation. At the Tower of Babel, they all spoke to each other. And again, you're right. And that's why, thanks to modern technology, they now have earbuds that you can wear that will automatically translate yours and another person's different languages back and forth in real time. Here's just one example. Sean Hollister, Senior Editor, CNET, these are Google's Pixel Buds. The first wireless headphones, and they are going to take on Apple's AirPods at the same $159 price. What they do that Apple's AirPods don't, is real-time language translation. To show you how easy this experience is, I'd like to invite Isabel back on stage for a conversation in her native language, Swedish. So, Isabel is going to speak Swedish into her Pixel Buds, and I will hear the English translation on Pixel 2's front speakers, and then I'll respond in English, and she will hear the Swedish translation in her Pixel Buds. To illustrate this today, you will hear both sides of the conversation. At that point, they conversed back and forth English to Swedish and Swedish to English. Wow, I was right. What you just read, whether you realize it or not, is the language barrier being removed for the first time in the history of mankind since the Tower of Babel. In fact, speaking of the Tower of Babel and languages, this just happened a couple of months ago. Talk about creepy.
Babylonian language is brought back to life nearly 2,000 years after the language died out. Babylonian was the ancient language during the time of the Mesopotamian Empire, which dominated vast areas of the Middle East for 2 millennia, but it went extinct. However, a University of Cambridge professor has revived the deceased dialect and made a 20-minute film, titled The Poor Man of Nippur. It tells the tale of a young man who sought revenge on a city mayor who cheated him out of his prized possession, his goat. The movie is actually based on a Babylonian clay tablet they found telling of this story back then, and they not only revived the dead language but made this film entirely out of the original Babylonian language. The clip from the movie is all done in the Babylonian language. Drive him away and throw him out through the gate. Tell your master thus the blessings of the gods, for one insult which you imposed on me, for that one, I shall repay you thrice. He drove 5 pegs into the ground. For 1 insult which you imposed on me, I have repaid you thrice. The poor man of Nippur.
What are the odds of this? They not only just revived the ancient Babylonian language that went extinct a long time ago, in our lifetime, but now even the language barrier that God set up to confuse the languages in Babel to keep mankind from rebelling against him on a global basis has also come down in our lifetime. It's almost like somebody's trying to set the stage for a last day's rebellion in the 7-year tribulation, with every tribe, people, language and nation. And that's exactly what Revelation 13 says they're going to do in the last days. First the Antichrist and false prophet do it with a global government. He was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Then they establish a global religion. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Coupled with Revelation 17, the global religious harlot called Mystery Babylon, and you have a global religion. And as we saw, modern technology has now removed all these barriers. Mankind could never have a true global government and a true global religion unless all peoples of the earth get connected globally, right? It's common sense, the planet has to be interconnected. Think about it. If everyone is still on their isolated continents and they're still speaking their isolated languages, you'll never be able to unite them all. But for the first time in mankind's history, with all this travel and communication technology, we have the ability to pull it off. We already have our world being governed by a single united global entity called the United Nations. It's been in function for many years, representing 193 different countries. I was there last year. And how do all these heads of all these different nations get to the UN to discuss this one world government in the first place? They get there with modern travel technology. And when they do get together, how do they speak to each other? How do they remove the language barrier to discuss this global government? Modern communication technology devices. But what about a global religion? If all religions are stuck in their own isolated countries from everyone speaking their own language, you'll never be able to unite them all. So, what do you do? Modern technology. First you get them connected and exposed to each other via modern travel technology. Then you utilize the modern communication technology to remove the language barrier to begin to dialogue on how to join hands together. And believe it or not, that's what Pope Francis and the Vatican have been doing for a long time now. Talk about shades of the false prophet. If he ain't the false prophet, he's desperately trying to get the job. Pope Francis is out there right now telling the world we need to unite into a global government. Pope Francis statements unifying world. The Vatican calls for world government. Forbes, the UN launches a blueprint for a new world order with the help of the Pope. Zero Hedge, Pope to World Government Summit, there is no development without solidarity. Vatican News, Pope Francis continues to promote globalism. The New American, Pope Francis calls for one world government to save humanity, news punch, but that's just step one. Even previous popes have also been working at uniting the world's religions for a long time.
Dave Hunt. The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. Its Pope is currently leading the greatest ecumenical movement in history in order to unite all religions under Rome's leadership. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, Muslims, Hindus, North American witch doctors. I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they were all praying to the same God. And that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy bringing about a new climate of peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend the Dalai Lama to put the Buddha on the altar at St. Peter's Church in Assisi, and with his monks have a Buddhist worship ceremony there while Shintoists chanted, ringing their bells outside. The prophesied world religion is in the process being formed before our eyes. And the Vatican is the headquarters for the movement. Is this not spiritual fornication? 7.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what it is. But it didn't just stop there. Pope Francis is taking this behavior and putting it on steroids right now. Just recently he met with Muslim leaders in Dubai encouraging them to unite with the Vatican. And then he even more recently met with the Muslims in Morocco saying, we're all brothers and sisters. And he even recently met with the Mormons. Watch what the head Mormon church said about the Pope. RomeReports.com, this is how Russell Nelson, president of the Church of Jesus Christ, greeted Pope Francis. He and other Mormon leaders met the Pope on occasion of the dedication of their temple in Rome, Italy. The leaders then showed Pope Francis their new temple. The first Mormon temple in that city. Russell Nelson, what a sweet, wonderful man he is. And how fortunate the Catholic people have him as their gracious, concerned, loving and capable leader. Rome reports, it was a never-before-seen meeting of its kind that stroked some similarities instead of differences. Russell Nelson, so that is one of the many things we share in common with you. 8. Yeah. You're both false prophets and false teachers. And believe it or not, even so-called Christians are now calling the Pope a great guy. Kenneth Copeland, you're going to talk about tonight for a long time. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? Tony Palmer, some of you may know Tony, Tony and I go way back, but he is going to be telling you a story that I asked him to tell. He has a special message for us tonight. Tony Palmer, this brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours? Tonight, I'm going to get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends, if there is no more protest, how can they be a Protestant church? Maybe we are all Catholics again. KPRC2 News reports, as we sat down and talked about the preparations for the big event, Joel Osteen revealed to me an incredible opportunity he just had to meet with Pope Francis. Joel Osteen, I felt very honored and very humbled by seeing the Pope give the Mass to hundreds of thousands of people that day. You just see he has such a heart to help people. I love the fact that he has made the church more inclusive, not trying to make it smaller but to make it larger to take everybody in, so that just resonates with me. Rick Warren, the main thing is love always reaches people. Authenticity, humility, Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in his first Mass with people with AIDS, the kissing of the deformed man, his loving the children, the authenticity, the humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they say, oh, that is what a Christian does. In fact, there was a headline here in Orange County that said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus. 9. Yeah, real funny, Rick. What Bible are you reading? Did you catch that? Our Pope? Us Christians? Christians do not have a Pope, and Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. And lest there be any doubt as to why we need to unite ourselves with this Pope that everyone's enamored with, right now he is being pitched as a global religious savior to save our planet and unite us all.
No matter what divides us, his words unite us. For the first time in history, the Pope opens his doors to address the questions and issues we face together as a leader whose faith inspires the world. I have the distinct honor of presenting to you Pope Francis of the Holy City. From the looks of this car, we are used to the huge American limousine, and this is a Mr. Bean car by comparison, and yet it's going to take him around town. Pope Francis, families quarrel and sometimes plates fly. I won't speak about mother-in-law. In the family there are difficulties, but those difficulties are overcome with love. We need to learn to listen. Differences always scare us because they make us grow. Tenderness is not weakness, it's strength. To bring us together. We have so much to do and we must do it together.
And what's that? Oh yeah. Build a one-world government and a one-world religion just in time for the last days. Folks, it's all being repeated. Revelation 13 is fast upon us. Our world is being united again into a one-world religion and a one-world government, just like the Tower of Babel rebellion, with the Pope at the forefront. And that's precisely why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, Tribulation Rising concerning modern technology and the AI invasion, to show us that the tribulation is near and the second coming of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
People of God, like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising. Wake up. And so, the point is this. If you're a Christian today and you're not doing anything for the Lord, shame on you. Get busy doing something for Jesus now. Stop wasting your life. We need you. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get on the front line and help us. Let's get busy working together doing something splendid for Jesus with what time is left, and get busy saving souls. Amen? But if you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. Because when the Antichrist and false prophet take control, it won't be peace on earth, it will be hell on earth. Don't fall for the lie. Take the way out now, the only way out now, through Jesus Christ, before it's too late. Amen?